This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Wawinjeka. Joy 94.9 would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the sovereign peoples of the past, present and future generations of the Kulin Nations on whose unceded land we work, live and broadcast from. We would also like to acknowledge all our brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI communities. A silent storm begins to brew in an ancient land of darkness. With tumultuous force from the crust of the earth, two worlds come together as one, from the past and the present, celebrating culture and spirit, paving the pathway to our future. It's time for dreaming. Urban dreaming. Finding your voice. Finding your spirit. Joy 94.9.
Yes, welcome to Urban Dreaming. This is Sarami on the mic.
It's Gal here back in the studio.
And Gracie on the panel.
And what a deadly evening we've got this evening.
True.
It's huge,
I must say. So we'll be discussing a little bit about the Melbourne Fringe, of course. And we've got some great artists who'll be in the studio with us this evening and playing some live music.
Yeah, we've actually got a jammed packed studio. We've got chairs from every studio crammed in here.
We've got people setting up.
Yeah, and one fellow's actually currently setting up the studio. We don't know what's going on. There's wires everywhere.
There's flashing lights.
We're trying to work it out.
No, it's all good in the hood. I think, if anything, though, before we begin, we'd love to acknowledge the country in which we stand, and that's the Kulin Nation, the land peoples of the Wurundjeri and the Boonwurrung, and to make sure that we are, you know, this is where we work, rest and play, and this is where we, you know, we establish ourselves as artists and as radio broadcasters. So it's important we acknowledge that, and also just acknowledge our own country. We're both Nyikana kids, me and Gal. And where are you from, Grace?
From Nam.
She from Nam.
Born and bred.
Yes.
Solid again. But we've got a track for you right now before we carry on, and we'll get back with you with the interviews as well.
We do. So. And we do have a huge show coming up, so make sure you do get in touch. 0427 Joy 949, you can text in on, or you can email on air at joy.org.au. Do you want to intro this one, Gal, seeing as you love this song?
Yeah, but I always pronounce it wrong. But I know it's done by Kait, who is a legend, and she's just killing it here in Nam. She's a young, I guess, hip-hop, hip-hop.
Poet, just, stylist.
Yeah, she's quite... She's
Erykah
really,
Badu's love child.
Exactly. Yeah. I read
apparently,
that.
Yeah.
I read
that. And she's touring. So
and this is OG Loving.
OG Love Kush part 2. I even had to get her part to say two. That and then so I could listen to exactly how
amazing.
It was.
I know most of the words. I'm just not sure about the title.
You don't know.
I'll show you. Do you want me to sing it?
No. Yes.
Go on,
this is right, Gal doing Kate.
Let's listen to Kate.
So no, we love dreaming. You,
Kate. With something that a Spidey kiss are more than just that. I've rocked more than one hat. Berets, fedoras, snapbacks, and top hats. All right. I know a little something.
You had the audacity to leave your menthol cigarettes on the kitchen floor. You know how much I hate you smoking and your asthma always acting up on a fool. You're never really on my mind. I just think of you from time to time. Can finally say I'm sleeping well at night. Don't need weed singing me a lullaby. I feel like I'm your mama, cause it's so damn hard just to please you. But now that's not my problem, I got no more OG love kush for you, boo. I feel like I'm your mama, cause it's so damn hard just to please you. But now that's not my problem, I got no more OG love kush for you, boo. I wanna see you do nothing but the best. But in order to do that, I think it would be best. Never leave you on scene, block you off ever with this. Stop imagining that ring. I stop this as if drinking, hoping that I see you on the weekend. Going on my girl's phone to check your time. Not stalking all them bitches that like your profile. That's your profile, not anymore. It's so damn hard just to please you. But now that's not my problem. I got no more OG love kush for you, boo. I feel
to please you. But now that's not my problem. I got no more G. Love cooks for you, boo boo. Love cooks for you, boo. No, you ain't that cool.
Hey mob, it's Layla Thacker and you're listening to Urban Dreaming, Joy 94.9, Esso.
Yes, we're back on Urban Dreaming. This show runs from 8 till 9 p.m, guys, so stay tuned. We've got some deadly artists coming up from the Melbourne Fringe. And these guys, I'm sure they'll blow your socks off. Okay, so until then, we're going to have Gal. Gal just walked into the studio. How are you, Gal?
Hi, guys, I'm back.
She's on a high tonight. I think if there's anything, we must always start off with a bit of Indigenous news because we need to inform the country and what's going on with our mob. So,
Joy News.
More national news. Chevron write a headshot of Tony Abbott while speaking to media. Answers demanded on Abbott appointment. The co-chair of the Prime Minister's Advisory Council says she wants answers on Tony Abbott's appointment as Indigenous Affairs Envoy. Girls setting in dugout canoe. Arakan's Next Generation, a far north Queensland community, wants to be known for the good that is being done rather than the negativity from the past. Gollywog at the Royal Adelaide Show. Gollywog's removed from the Adelaide Show. The Royal Adelaide Show apologises for the offence caused by Gollywog dolls, which were put on the public display but have since then been withdrawn after attracting accusations of racism. Shanian graduation. The long road to graduation. At 52, when many teachers are thinking about retirement, Shanian Weldon is just getting started.
Native title compensation claims brings High Court to NT for first time. The High Court is sitting in Northern Territory for the first time in the history to hear a native title compensation case hailed among the biggest test cases in Indigenous rights since Mabo. A tight headshot of smiling, Wayne Philia Morrison. Officer had no memory of restraining prisoner who later died in hospital. A correctional officer who helped restrain Aboriginal prisoner Wayne Philia Morrison, who died 3 days later, tells a coroial inquest he has no memory of what happened but woke up lying across him. Lynn Austin, a member of the Stolen Generation, sits on a table looking at a historical family photos. It's about justice. Victoria urged to catch up on Stolen Generation reparations. Lynn Austin was taken from her mother when she was 10 years old and never saw her again. She wants the Victorian government to fall into line with other states and introduce a redress scheme to help provide support for those still struggling after being removed from their families.
A group of young men with their backs to the camera. Circle Sentencing aims to stop recidivism and keep Indigenous people out of jail, but does it work? It's been 10 years since a study found circle sentencing failed to reduce recidivism among Indigenous offenders. Now new research will find out if it's making a difference.
Yarra River on a sunny day in Melbourne. Forgotten Aboriginal names rediscovered. Ngarr or Fitzroy. The Indigenous names were discovered in Catchy of Notes of Melbourne Museum and contain records of conversation between an anthropologist and traditional owners of North Melbourne.
Dances at the First Nations Summit open ceremony. Indigenous leaders meeting offers a chance to learn. Indigenous leaders and thinkers from around the world gather at Canberra's Old Parliament House for the First Nations Governance Forum. They share a history and a journey.
Martin Luther King, how the message of MLK got lost. Martin Luther King Jr. cast an enormous shadow in my childhood. Now, 50 years later, his assassination, his message, has been softened, but there is a call to reclaim Dr. King's memory and recommit to his struggles.
Protesters hold a Black Lives Matter sign during a night march following the police shooting of a man in Milwaukee. Identity politics and tribalism. Identity is the response to a world that can appear chaotic, a world in flux, and identity politics has become one of the key issues issues of our time. There you go. That's Urban Dreaming News.
Morich for your gorich. All right, guys. So we've got the Melbourne Fringe. And just to let you know, we've got some artists in the studio with us this evening. You're on Urban Dreaming, by the way. We're here from 8 till 9 p.m. And stay tuned. We've got some deadly musicians are going to, lighten up the room. And
I reckon. Let's have a yarn. Let's introduce our artists and...
I have to introduce, of course, what it's about. There's exactly. The Fringe. That's James Howard, who's Jadwa. Is that pronounced correctly? Yes. Is a Melbourne-based musician whose practice approaches connection to land through sound. Yes, Howard's project unpacks these relationships with place through the merging of field recordings with live contemporary instrumentation. Yes, James Howard Project consists of an ongoing development to allow the musician to collaborate with the environment via the means of sound technology and improvised performance. Yes, James is currently studying his Masters in Fine Arts at the Faculty of Fine Arts and Music at the Willen Centre for the Indigenous Arts and Cultural Development.
Deadly. Hi, James.
Hey, how are we?
Great. And in the studio we also have John Wayne and Fred. Fred, what's your last name, sorry?
Fred Gesher.
Gesher. Deadly. So you guys are all a part of Singe the Fringe, right?
Yes. That's correct.
Cool. John, do you want to take it away and tell us a little bit about yourself and who's your mob and where you are now and what led you to... participate in Fringe. Is this your first Fringe Festival?
I think it is.
Is it your forte, would you say?
Well, could be. We'll soon find out after next weekend. My name's John Wayne Parsons. I'm originally from Queensland, but first and foremost, I'd like to pay my respects to our traditional owners on this land that we're on, especially to the Bunwurrung and the Woiwurrung of the Eastern Kulin Nation. Always important because I'm not from here. I'm a Yagara and Miriam man, so Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander man from Queensland. Very proud of my cultural heritage. And I've been living down on this beautiful country for the past 8 years and worked in a number of places. But one of the things that brought me down was working with Pecan Summer, the Aboriginal opera with Deborah Cheatham. And
lead role, don't be so humble.
Hey, look out. But yeah, that's right, you was there too, eh? Dancing. But yeah, no, it was a wonderful experience and I suppose opened my eyes to the world of classical music. And so I did a bit of training at the VCA in fine arts. I think it was the repertoire stream. It was a foundation course. But then I did a whole heap of stuff working with VACA, the Victorian Aboriginal Child Care Agency, working in the prisons and all that type of stuff. But music seems to be always the thing that keeps bringing me back. And now I work at the Willen Centre, what you just mentioned before. We're down at the Victorian College of the Arts, South Main Campus, and we're a little centre that's been there for nearly 15 to 20 years, I think, now.
16 this year.
I better shut my mouth. 16 years promoting it up here. But yeah, big shout out to the Willen mob, and especially with all the Indigenous students that come through into our programs through dance, visual arts, music theatre, production, film and television, the list goes on. But I'm the man for the job. I'm the Schools and Community Liaison Officer. And if you've got a bit of talent, not just singing in the shower and mum thinks you're deadly, but some real talent out there, and right across this nation, a lot of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander mob do have a lot of talent in those areas, and so I'd be keen to talk to you. But yeah, this will be my first Melbourne Fringe, and I better hand it over to Brother James because Uncle might talk all night here.
Thank you.
Actually, we'll hand it over to Fred. Actually, tell us a bit about yourself.
Let's hear from Fred.
From me, I don't like to talk about myself much.
Said no black.
John here. I'm Miriam from Murray Island, the Torres Straits, Kalkadoon, Cape York, and my mother's side is South Pacific from Vanuatu. So I've been in Indigenous music for around 27 years. Western Australia, I spent a lot of time in WA, touring all over there. So all your mob.
Yeah, we're just yelling about that. Hall's Creek, even Derby
Hall's
race
Creek,
courses.
Derby. I've played at the Derby race course. Know a guy called Herbie from Derby.
Herbie, feel for you.
I reckon. Did that race horse have grass or?
Nah, it's just red dirt.
That's that little tudder lizard, you know?
Ended up in Sydney for a couple of years at the Australia Council. Now down here in Melbourne, producing the Yalkut Willem Festival for Aunty Carolyn and the City of Port Phillip. And now doing this project with the Fringe for the French Festival.
Deadly. So. And James, did you sort of initiate, like, did you sort of, like, ask Fred and John Wayne if they would come on board, or how did this whole thing get started? Because I know how it's going to end, and it's going to be deadly, but how did it get
started?
You know more
than me, that's for sure.
I can answer that. We were threatened. Oh, yeah. We were threatened.
You were threatened?
No, we were threatened.
Do it or die, eh?
That's exactly it. No, I mean, I'm a student at the VCA currently, and I do a lot of sort of work with Willen and stuff. I like to help out where I can. And, you know, essentially Willen came to me and said they had a slot on at the Fringe and would I be interested in putting together a show? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. And then I realised, like, I needed to actually write a show, you know?
Tricky.
So that was, like, 2 or 3 months ago. And so I've just spent, like, that amount of time, like, trying to figure out, you know, how I can, you know, use some of the deadly talented mob that go through Willen and sort of showcase our talents, but also really, like, showcase my own sort of practice and what I'm researching at the moment, which is about connecting to your country through song and building relationships with your country, even if you live in an urban environment, like still having that spiritual connection.
Yeah, and I guess that's something you and I have been yarning a little bit about, and the concept behind your work being related to connecting to country through sound and through soundscapes. And I guess, is that something that everyone in the band sort of was on the same, I guess, a similar page with in terms of feeling country and feeling, I guess, that sort of, yeah, well, we call it our lian, but feeling what's right and what sounds right at certain times as well. But I guess, John Wayne, the concept that James is, like, exploring in terms of connecting to country through sound, what's your take on it, and have you been experimenting with that? Because it's kind of a modern concept, playing with digital technology and enhancing soundscapes and picking up what's around and, you know, yeah, around, I guess.
Yeah, this is probably my first time last weekend, James asked. We've been talking about it for a little while. But, yeah, this is the first time ever experiencing my voice being looped and mixed and, you know, using different elements from the ocean and some sounds from the city and that. But, so I'm really looking forward to see how it develops. And I suppose me coming to the table and bringing voice, I sort of hone in back in through my grandmother, who was a Yagara woman who was born under a tree at Perga Mission, and she just passed last year, so she's been also part of my masters. But singing songs about them, you know, sometimes some of our mob don't have language, or it hasn't been passed on for a whole heap of different reasons. But, you know, when you do hear language or song or, you know, words, you hang on to it like gold. But, my being part of this project, I've sort of brought about some of my Torres Strait Islander heritage, honouring mob through language, but also remembering what country we on. We got to pay that respect to the Bunwarang and the Woiwurrung. And before, you know, what's our intentions when we come? And we just want to share, and I want to share my story and my family story and honour some of those unsung heroes like my grandfather on the Torres Strait side and my Aboriginal side too. And so there's one of the songs we might have a little geo with is Daddy Real Cool Dude. I just want to honour my father. We just had Father's Day.
True. Happy Father's Day out there.
To all you fellas.
True.
And, so for Father's Day, I didn't get my dad any present. He's right up there in Bundaberg. But this song's called Daddy Real Cool Dude. He said, hey, you're singing songs for your mother and every other family member. Hey, what about me? And he liked a bit of blues. But I just remember this song that we will sing, it honours, you know, a lot of our mob that worked in the cane fields or laid the railway tracks right across this nation and that. And, you know, some of them worked for next to nothing, you know. So, yeah, and that seasonal work, following it right around the country just to get a bit of education or better work for your children.
Yeah, solid. Mm.
We're just going to have a quick little break and we'll be back with some music.
Hey, you mob, this is Davey and you're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy. Deadly.
This is Consciously Kaya, and you're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy.
A Perth mother has dressed her son up as West Coast Eagles player Nick Natanui for a school costume day, deciding to paint his skin brown. She'd been warned it was a horrible idea, but said she was glad she grew a set of balls and went through with it. The mother also added that there were too many politically correct extremists these days. Her child actually ended up winning the Book Week parade.
Our black skin is not a costume for you to assume. Damn right I ain't got room to be amused. We ain't amused for your amusement. You were born as a heaven sent. Half of my kin wasn't born as human. So excuse the nuisance and dealing with our feelings. It's appealing black skin comes with some glass ceiling. So you think you're queen and you really just demeaning the meaning of the being of another human being. What's the meaning of all this hate? You think you celebrate, but you ain't even related to the state of the black fate. So tell me what's behind your son's black face. White skin he can never embrace the struggle within. See the difference between your children and Nick now. Is they can go to school with their books and their backpack. Go and win a medal for their skin, you paint black. Head home, take a shower, cleanse their skin and that's that. But we can never take our black off. Parents can never get back their children that was lost. I mean stole from their home. You paint your skin black but you don't wear it as your own. Australia, grow a fucking backbone. I ain't beating around the bush no more. Settle the score you choose to ignore. We were here before, time to wipe the floor clean. No sham well, got me wondering how. 2016, we got white people speaking on behalf of we, your black entertainment. I know you like goods better as a footy player. And Eddie Betts be a monkey at best. As long as the 70 others behave themselves, you love them just like the rest. Give it a rest, it's been weighing on my chest. Why white pieces always move first in chess? Why is black the appropriate funeral dress? And my country don't care about people in distress. Black is not a costume, black is not a face. I'm an educated black man, I don't know my place. Black is not a costume. Black is not a face, I'm an educated black man. My best friend had a baby, got me thinking. I wanted to grow up in a world that needs convincing. That degrading race is somehow entertainment. The fact we need persuading or the fact we keep debating. We got grown people acting dumb. Parents, please parent you young. And see your daughters and sons. Black face is not a costume, find another one. We be DJ Khaled, we need another one. Aaliyah, age ain't nothing but a number. Race ain't nothing but a color. So even though your dad's white, he's still my brother. And no matter what they say, I always love you. I ain't spread hate, I spread love for one another. See the same hate for race. It's the same hate to tell a leader stay in a place. But fuck that, baby girl, do your thing. This ain't PC, this is easy. Please believe me, this ain't PC. This is Return of the Mac, the Return of the Black. The Empire strike back, cause we in here going back to back. Wouldn't be astray without another face painted black. But now it's back to that. Back to telling blacks like how to act. Racially abusers tell us how to react. I'm yelling, fuck that, you need to check your facts. Fight for the rights of whites to wear blackface. Don't fight for the rights of those to blackface. Man, it's such a disgrace. We need to learn our history, need to learn our place. Cause black is not a costume, black is not a face. I'm an educated black man, I don't know my place. Black is not a costume, black is not a face. I'm an educated black man, I don't know my place. Hey. I don't know my place.
Yes, some great songs there playing on Urban Dreaming. Before we had Alice Skye with Friends with Feelings. And we're hoping to have Alice in the studio actually in the next couple of weeks because she's just been so busy.
Deadly.
And that just then was Ziggy Ramo with Black Face. Deadly song. All right, guys, so we've got the Deadly Fringe. That's the Melbourne Fringe. And the artists we have in the studio with us at the moment are James Howard, Uncle John Wayne, and Fred Geisha. And we're actually, we'll be chatting with them as we go, but we've got a couple of songs we want to basically touch on. And take it away, gal.
Yeah, so I guess the song that we are going to be talking about is going to be in the main performance, Singe the Fringe, at the Lithuanian Club. We'll give more details on the specific show after we yarn. But I heard that there was a really interesting journey and, I guess, evolution of this song. And it would be awesome if we had a chat about it and, I guess, what led the song to be what it is now and how was the process and, I guess, the experimental, yeah, side of things as well.
Yeah, well, I knew that sort of I wanted the sort of opening of the show to be like a really familiar sort of comforting vibe. So we're talking about like doing like maybe a folk song or something that evokes family. This is a conversation I was having with John Wayne, and we're sort of thinking like, how can we welcome people into this space and make them feel comfortable? And we had this idea of it almost being like sitting around a fire and just being able to yarn. And so John Wayne said to me, like, oh, I've got this great song I could sing that I wrote with my sister about my dad. And it's called Daddy Real Cool Dude. And he sang me it a cappella and it was, like, bloody amazing. As you,
Black as fella a cappella.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, essentially we're opening the show with the performed acknowledgement and then we're going into this Daddy Real Cool Dude sitting around the fire playing a bit of Black fella blues, you know?
I think it sort of transformed into sort of standard blues into a more spiritual type, like, you know, Southern blues, Negro spiritual type stuff, which is, I don't know, it was quite by accident, really. We were just experimenting, and this is how it turned out on the recording. So, yeah, it just...
Yeah, it's
evolved.
Just, yeah, naturally evolved
from
toward it, yeah.
A standard blues song to a really a spiritual type song about respect, about country, about our ancestors and the hard work they did. And I think that's sort of set the tone for the whole show.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
And then, James, you've got some digital aspects and sort of sound recordings to it, and there's a bit of improvisation. Do you guys want to talk about that?
Yeah, so, I mean, the concept for this show really came from me going out sort of on country in the bush and listening to, you know, my surroundings through headphones and really just, like, being immersed in this, like, audio landscape where I could just hear, you know, like, bugs 50 metres away. And it was just, like, you just sort of realise that the country's so alive. And I was really interested in this idea of, like, using audio technology to, like, develop a stronger relationship with country. And that was really the seed for, like, what my research is now and what, like, the foundation of this show was. And so I went through this process where I had all these field recordings and I'd started writing music just having the field recordings playing. And, like, through that I developed an even stronger relationship with the recordings and thinking back on my time on country. And so the next logical step was to get six performers on a stage and see if we could improvise a performance.
That's a huge step.
It's, yeah,
it's definitely improvised.
Yeah, I meant to say that.
Yeah, I mean, I've really got to applaud these guys and everyone else who's in the band with us because I've asked them to step well outside of their comfort zone to get up on stage and really just say, like, we're just going to see where this goes and see where it takes us. And even just over the last couple of days as we've been rehearsing, like, I've seen these guys come out of their shells and it's been really amazing just going from those first tentative steps into embracing it a little bit more and, like, singing from the spirit has been wonderful.
It's a beautiful thing to see, I guess, and to listen to what you're saying, because you're crossing contemporary with traditional, which is what the show is about as well. And I think that's basically the new music of, you know, what's coming and what's actually the future. I'd love to hear one of these tracks now. Can you show us one of these tracks, please? Yeah.
For sure.
So what's this called?
So this is the new version of Daddy Real Cool Dude that...
Could I just say something too?
Yeah.
Just wanted to say that's a song that myself and my sister wrote for our father. So I want to give big ups to my sister Luana Pitt, who lives in Sydney, and we were part of a group called Mirror Child. And so I just wanted to acknowledge that. Otherwise, she'd be on that phone ringing me. Hey, that's my song there, brother.
And apologies, because we were going to play this live in the studio, but we've actually got this happening right now, and this is a pre-record you had earlier.
First session, right?
Well, this was probably the second take. We were just mucking around the first time, so this was done in a lounge room, and just, this is how it turned out.
Yeah. Nice. I mean, the thing I really like about it as well is that it's performed different every time, too. That's something I've noticed, and that's really what I was going for with this whole approach, was to perform songs differently each time based on sort of how we're feeling and how we're relating to the country at that particular moment in time.
Deadly. Well, I hope we all enjoy it.
Daddy, you're a real cool dude. there to lift us up by the hand. Oh, and Daddy, we know you understand.
Yes, you heard that live, or almost live, actually.
It was live when we recorded it.
Yeah, there you go. So that was James, guys. James, actually, who is from the Singe of the Fringe. Oh, the Singe of the Fringe.
Singe the Fringe.
Yes, James Howard, a Jawarwa musician, Melbourne based, whose practice is defined by his integration of electronic timbres in compositions produced by his connection to country. Yeah, very different, very... very, I can't explain it. It's so much to visualize, I think. I can see so much when you go through
too.
Your work.
Yeah.
And it actually sort of, I was just talking to John in the break. It's interesting because I've got a cousin who actually manipulates nature sound with electronica. And like I said before, this is like the new form of music coming into this into the music industry. I guess your process. Let us know more about how you work and how it sort of stems from the beginning of your process to the end.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just going back to that point about manipulating these sort of soundscapes, these natural soundscapes and stuff. Like, it's very much. It's about coming to terms with the fact that, living in the city, you live in a metropolitan sort of environment, and how do you still develop that connection to your country when you're sort of removed from nature in a way? But, yeah, I mean, I guess thinking of my process, like, it always sort of starts with going out and just recording sounds, and sometimes that is sounds in the city. Like, I wrote a piece recently based around the sound of, like, a boom gate near my house. And that boom gate just used to annoy the hell out of me because I might be sitting there in my car for like 15 minutes waiting for the trains to go by. But then just going through this process of taking the recording and like listening back to it and writing alongside it and making something out of it. Like, I found that I have a different relationship with it now, and that boom gate doesn't exist anymore because, they're doing the Skyrail at the minute. I did. Yeah, I sabotaged it. Because, they're removing all the level crossings and stuff now, and so it doesn't exist anymore, that boom gate. And so it's going to be, like, interesting in 15, 20 years' time when you listen back to it and, remember these things that don't exist anymore, but you can still hear it. It's right there,
Yeah, the noises. And I guess that's similar, like, too, when you look at a larger scale, there are so many sounds and so many words and, I guess, language noises that we made that just aren't as, I guess, fluent in the landscape anymore. And I guess turning your recorder into, was it micro or macro, when you're sort of enhancing all the sounds and whatnot? What is that called technically?
I mean, I go through a process where I like to really boost the audio signal, and you can hear these like little things that you might not have heard otherwise with the human ear. And there's also this process that I'm really interested in where, you've got like these sounds around you in this like 360 degree environment coming from every angle. But when you take that sound and you put it through like a stereo microphone, it's just all whittled down into two channels. And like, in a way, that almost acts as like a framing device. And then all of a sudden the sounds around you have become like a piece of music or a piece of art in some way that then you can go on and manipulate or just like listen to on its own merits.
Yeah, and collaborate with John Wayne. Can I just say they were amazing vocals and your song was so powerful and I really did feel that, I guess, yeah, what we were yarning about, like it takes you back to a whole nother place at the same time and you can really be.
Yeah, I guess John's lyrics sort of inspired how the song turned out. I mean, it influenced how I was playing, and it sort of reminded me of when you talked about the cane fields. And my ancestors worked in the sugar cane and the bananas, and sort of reminded me of the deep south of America. Yes. And the cotton fields and that sort of the way John was singing. Mm. So that sort of influenced how I was playing.
Yeah, there's
that song,
sort of similarity there. John, where do you go when you sing that song? Where does that take you?
I think it's important, no matter... often when I sing my songs, or especially in language, which would be interesting to experiment with James and Fred with my language songs at some stage, but when I sing, it doesn't matter whether I'm in front of one person or a stadium. I think the thing that keeps me safe is that I grew up around a singing family and very spiritually influenced by the gospel, but also by our cultural upbringing as well up in the Torres Straits. But I grew up in Queensland there near Cairns, Babinda, little place called Babinda. But, yeah, I often think when I'm singing those songs, and I wanted to honour my dad, and it was Father's Day, and I didn't have any present for him, but so why not do
use
it
the
in
present.
Voice?
Is
exactly.
he tuning in tonight?
No, not that I know of, but I know my kids are, and they need to go to bed very shortly.
But, or they could text us.
Yeah, but just back to the singing those songs, I often, like I said, when I stand up and sing, I can definitely feel that safety net of when I think of, I can hear my grandmother, I can hear my grandfather, I can hear my uncles and aunties. And so in that space, I want to honour the people that I'm singing about, you know, and that helps me connect.
And does that sort of honouring expand when you've got noises that come from other mobs countries, say here in Melbourne, you know, and and you are quite sort of capturing someone else's country's essence and then putting it to your own. What's the intersect there?
Yeah, I think it's because it's at the very beginning stages of experimenting and stuff like that. But I'm also doing my master's around song and ceremony and trying to honour a lot of our mob. We're not just Aboriginal, we got a number of different cultural backgrounds. So for me, I'm an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander man, and I want to honour, you know, each of those. But and so it, there's, I suppose, that's the legacy we've been left with. And then I'm not living on my country, but I'm on someone else's country. And so I made it my business to make sure I connect with the mob down here, people like Auntie Caroline, Auntie Di Carr, Uncle Jack Charles, you know, there's a whole heap of them. And, you know, been part of song and ceremony with them on their country around Tundaram and all those things. But, yeah, it's important to know who I am and what I bring, but and make sure that I'm coming in a proper, good way, you know.
Yeah.
Because, like you even talking about some of the elements that are coming, you know, that brother's, you know, picking up from that earth or from Mother Earth or nature and that. We got to remember, even when I get up and stand, doesn't matter on stage and that, but I think of the ground that I'm standing on, the blood that was spilt there, you know, the caretakers, the ancestors that looked after this land. But that blood, when I stand up there, I want to honour them mob, and I want to honour the caretakers that look after this country now, you know, in this day and age. So, yeah, there's a whole heap of stuff going on in your head, and but you know, I think if you got that good spirit of truth, and the mob know that you're coming in good, you know, you got good integrity, you know, it's stay true, you know, to yourself.
Yeah, totally.
Yes, you're in Urban Dreaming. We're in the studio with three amazing artists, Fred Guichard, James Howard, and, yes, brother boy here, John Wayne. So stay tuned, guys. We'll be right back after the short break.
I'm Jambo Mienzimichi. What's good? My name is Wani, and you're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy 94.9.
Okay, guys, so, yeah, we've got these amazing artists who are working in the Melbourne Fringe, and it's called Singe the Fringe, and these specific artists are working on electronica mixed with traditional cultural music, and it's just, it's an honour to actually have, I guess, this new wave of music coming through, and, you know, it is our future. I think I'd love to hear, you know, we're speaking about improv, and you guys have got musical instruments in the studio with us, and I feel it's a shame if we don't utilise these instruments. So let's have a little improv right now. So Fred Guichard, take it away. Put you on the spot, didn't I? Love it.
I have no idea what I'm going to play, but maybe John can do some talking over it.
Some talking. But just... to hear live music. Like, I actually haven't heard a guitar in ages.
Very nice.
Nah, that was deadly. Thank you, Fred.
That just took us back to country and having that little fire going on.
We actually did, in the backyard.
Yeah. Well, Actually, I love sitting around the fire and just playing. I just sort of play for hours and get lost in it. So.
Well, go on then. Someone light up a fire in here. That's what we need.
There's actually one day me and Gracie played some music in here where you turn the lights off as well. It was awesome. And just like listening to like a Dreamtime story is just beautiful, actually.
Totally, yeah.
So, speaking of country and speaking of where we are and the artists, it's just such an honour to have you guys on board and really good to, you know, just to hear you mob in your element. Yeah, very special. And thank you, Gal, for bringing these mob in.
No worries. Just in terms of specific details, like a Singe the Fringe is on the
15th of September.
15th of September.
At 8 p.m. At the Lithuanian Club
in North
Main
Melbourne.
Theatre.
Main North Theatre. Melbourne. Amazing. And we've got $5 concession. Oh, no, we don't. We just have tickets for mob. So all the mob out there, come down and have a licit, like, come and join us because it will be for mob as well.
No promotion whatsoever. So, guys, yeah, we're just, it's an honour once again, and I thank you for your time, and we look forward to seeing your show. And if anything, you must check out The Fringe, guys. It's going to happen, you know, in the September the 13th it opens. Basically, 14th is starting shows. And it goes till, I think, the 27th. I'm pretty sure the 27th, something like that. But, yeah, check it out, guys. It's worthwhile. It happens once a year, and we've got the Deadly Fringe as well, the three initiatives. Coming through the Indigenous artists.
And we've got an amazing lineup of First Nations shows this year. I think it's the biggest lineup of First Nations artists ever in Fringe. And I believe Fringe has been going on for like almost 36 years or something. I don't know. But yeah, that's definitely something to, I guess, celebrate and really highlight as Melbourne's growing and as Aboriginal artists and First Nation artists and are coming into the arts industry and actually taking over and really spreading, I guess informal learning and sharing that really counts. And I guess that's what Singe the Fringe is it is that informal learning process, and you mob are sharing so many personal things. So we just want to say a big thank you to everyone for sharing yourselves tonight here in Urban Dreaming 94.9 Joy.
Yeah, thank you so much. And speaking of Deadly Fringe as well, we did speak to two Deadly Fringe artists last week. So if you did miss that chat, make sure you download Urban Dreaming's podcast at joy.org.au/urban-dreaming. This one here, it's Kira Peru with Molotov on Urban Dreaming on Joy 94.9.
Don't gotta rush, no, I really won't miss a thing. I don't miss a thing.
Yes, thanks for tuning into Urban Dreaming. That song then was Molotov with
Kira Peru.
And I'm just saying goodbye. This is Romy. Thanks for joining us.
Gorgeous. Hello, everyone.
And Grace is saying goodbye. You're on Urban Dreaming.
Stay tuned for Triple Bypass, celebrating biovisibility.
You have been listening to Urban Dreaming, a show that aims to bridge the gap and close the divide. You can stay up to date by adding us on your Facebook and download the podcast from joy.org.au. Urban Dreaming on Joy 94.9.
Service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.